The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
I've heard that music somewhere before. It's kind of spooky. But, well, nah, Tex isn't spooky. Tex is amazing, but he's not spooky. Tex Mars, we're talking about. He's with us on the third Monday of each month, already the third Monday of September. And Tex, one of the most prolifically gifted writers, DVD producers, researchers, and great Americans that we have on this program. Are you there, Tex?
Yes, I am, Jeff, and thank you for those very nice comments. I appreciate it.
Well, always easy to speak the truth, my friend. I don't know where that music came from, but don't take it personally.
No, I don't. Not at all.
It was our Halloween music, and we played it last Friday, and it got stuck in the computer, but anyway. So, listen, this every time we talk, and I know you've been at this a long time, it just amazes me at the rapidity. It's constantly increasing. The deluge, the pace. It's like we're being battered around the clock with stuff, geopolitical stuff, local stuff, national stuff, constantly. Now we got another mass shooting. Stuff everywhere. And a lot of Americans, and the floods in Colorado, I mean, you can go on and on. A lot of Americans are just saying, I don't want to deal with it anymore. Can't blame them. The media has conditioned them to really kind of pull away. They're not news junkies like they used to be 20, 25 years ago. Oh, what's happening? I think most people honestly would rather push that remote control and watch the ball game. Most Americans. I'm not putting anybody down here, but the great masses, you know, common people. God loved common people the best because He made the most of them, right?
That's something true.
Like that. Anyway, I don't know how that old line goes. I think it was a Brother Dave Gardner joke. So, but we really are facing intrigues that are wide open in some cases. Of course, we never know really is going on. And then we are facing layer after layer after layer of blackness that hide the real machinations of what's going on here. It looks like Vladimir Putin has stepped up and is top dog right now. And our limp-wristed bisexual president is where he ought to be, you know, down at his feet. And I'm ashamed of this country in so many ways. I know you are. And anyway, so what's on tap tonight, Tex?
Well, you know, I would really like to look at the big picture here. Because, you know, you're right. People are flooded with details. There's a cascade of geopolitical events and then things going on right here in the United States.
Yeah,
I think we ought to just take a step back and say, wait just a minute. You know, we're all looking at Syria, and now, of course, Putin is going to go over to Iran to talk about nuclear arms there. But when right next door, Israel is the biggest fraud, the biggest perpetrator of nuclear armament and, of course, chemical biological warfare as well. But nobody even mentions that. So I think we ought to just stand back and take a look at greater Israel, because no one is going to understand what's going on in the world, or certainly in the Middle East. People will be scratching their heads 20 or 30 years from now if America still exists as a nation, at why we went into Iraq, why we went into Afghanistan, why perhaps we went into Yemen, Libya, all these countries that we've attacked. And, of course, we've also destabilized Egypt and, you know, assisted in the decimation in Lebanon and Palestine. But I believe we need to step back and take a look. All of these things were planned in advance. They're planned in advance. Of course, they've got billions and billions of dollars for all this planning that they've taken from us. Now, we can look at the financial end of it, too, but tonight I'd just like for us to take a look at greater Israel, because things are not going to continue as they were. Netanyahu and some very rich, very wealthy people, Rothschild and others, have decided that Israel is going to move on to greater things, and they're setting the foundation for all of this. You've got to set the foundation
sure.
for a world empire, and I think we're all going to be wrapped up in it. We're going to be caught up in it, handcuffed by electronic and Big
yeah.
Brother's handcuffs. If we don't look at it right now and say, wait just a minute, so this is what's going on. We're going to fight this.
Yeah.
I want to awaken people.
Yeah,
I think people are awake, and they're stepping out of bed right now. They're, you know, trying to get all their senses together. They're wiping the sleep out of their eyes. And I want to say, here's what the agenda is. Here's what's really going on. There are two great powers on earth right now, and these two have joined together to really deceive us all. And it goes along with the Bible. It talks about the beast in the last days, and he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. Revelation 13, verse 14. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. That means every person on earth is, in a sense, being deceived. So we're facing some very bad things. I think now we have a chance. We have an opportunity to, let's say, throw a monkey wrench in the machine. So
okay.
let's figure out how the machine works tonight.
Okay.
I know you already know this, Jeff, but even I sometimes, you know, I look at so much it like the gassing in Syria.
Yeah.
And I believe I know what happened there. But it's much wider than that. It's much greater.
Yeah. What you said, Tex, is that it's all planned, and that really could be the title of this program. It's all planned. Now, here, let me play a two-minute little clip here, which just came into my mind, and many of you have heard it, but it's very important because this underscores how it's all planned. This was the comment by General Wesley Clark on the pre-planned wars for the Middle East. And this is a real short clip. I think many of you have heard this, but let's listen to what General Wesley Clark said about the planning of wars in the Middle East, because they are planned.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the Joint Staff who used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, "No." He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq? Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda?" He said, no. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They've just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." And he said, "I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that. He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.
Well, what do you think? Is it planned or is it planned?
It is planned, isn't it? And Chris Wesley Clark, he's been pretty well, would you call it embargoed or censored? He's not allowed to be part of the American framework, let's just say, in propaganda.
No, he's been put out to pasture.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it. Just put out to pasture. He has. You know, one of the things he also talked about, I remember several years ago, he was talking about how strange it was, the death of Pat Tillman, the NFL football star in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And he basically was insinuating it looked like murder to him by some intelligence group, and that we did it on purpose. And I knew then that he was not part of the conspiracy as such. And he would not be favored in politics in another way.
Oh, that basically ended his political career, frankly.
It did. It did.
And the comment you just heard. Hold on just a second. We'll come right back with text. And for those of you who have scanned Rents.com carefully, you have seen a number of stories recently where one former SAS, that's the British Special Air Services, it's like they're Green Berets, Navy SEALs, they're elite, that the British SAS killed Princess Di. And so there is a lot of calls in the UK and Britain especially for investigation into the obvious murder of Princess Diana, probably by the SAS, which used, allegedly, a laser to blind the driver, and he piled the car into one of those concrete pillars. Okay, we'll be right back in just a sec with Tex Mars. Okay, back with Tex Mars. All right, Tex, the big picture. Let's take a look with you. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, we have to understand that there are about 18 to 18 and a half million Jews in the world. Almost all of these, of course, are Khazars. They're not really Jews. They have no connection with ancient Israel. But as it says in the Bible, Jesus made a very clear point. He said that the Jews in Judaism would encompass the entire world to make one new disciple, and then they would turn him into twice the devil that they are. That's what Jesus said. Hmm. So they are pagans, the Khazarians, that were converted into Judaism. So they are twice the devils that even the Jews were. So we have to understand that principle. They're very evil people. But what we have is basically around 7.5 million Jews in the United States, very rich, the most powerful group in the United States. They control our government today. They control our press. They don't control the alternative press, which is you and I and some others. Thank God we have the internet for that, or we would be totally in an absolute dictatorship now. But we have 7.5 million Jews in the United States, Khazars, and 7.5 million in Israel. That's 15 million. We only have about 3.5 million throughout the rest of the world. So these two countries, these Jews work very, very hard and very dynamically for Israel. For example, in our Senate, Senator Carl Levin is, in fact, a senator who's chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Over in the House, a Congresswoman Rose Latinine is a chairperson of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. And I can go on, but they control all the top committees in Congress, these Jews. Of course, AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, is the most powerful lobby group in America, even more powerful than the Jewish ADL, the B'nai B'rith. So the Jews in America and the Jews internationally, especially in Israel, have worked together over many, many years, especially since 1948, but even before that, when Israel became a nation, and these Khazars piled in there and took it over from the Palestinians. And so there's a plan for America and a plan for Israel. These two plans have been brought together. Israel is to be the nation, a military nation, a Sparta, but the United States is to be the bulldog. We're to be mercenary.
Pit bull,
we're to give
you got
our
it.
Blood,
yeah.
Our money,
yeah.
Our military capital for Israel.
Yeah.
And so ever since 2001, 9/11, was the very first big step on this plan. So we have 9/11, September 11, 2001. This was an attempt to get the United States going to be behind Israel. Netanyahu just happened to be in the United States at the time, the current prime minister of Israel. And he said, now you're going to understand how we feel. You know,
I remember that. I remember that, trying to compare 9/11 to made rockets landing in the land of the chosen. 0.2%. Zero.
Exactly.
0.2%.
It was not the United
population.
States policy to go into the United the Middle East and to conquer all of these nations that we've since conquered in the last dozen years since 2001 or since 9/11. But that's what we determined to do. But we needed a big event, a false flag like 9/11, to kick it all off. And so Bush and Cheney and all the others got together with Netanyahu and, of course, with our friends, so-called, over in the Middle East, and we began this incredible policy. Now, why? Look at it. We went into Iraq. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. They had no weapons of mass destruction. They had no chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons. They had destroyed them all. So that they had nothing at all.
That's
we
right.
went in and we kicked out Saddam. Supposedly we killed him, murdered him, I guess you could say.
Correct.
We conquered Iraq. We went into Afghanistan. We took that over. We took Libya. We control Jordan already. They're scared to death not to go along with us and go along with Israel. Yemen, Egypt, we overthrew their government, Mubarak. Then we overthrew the Islamic Brotherhood in Egypt. We're now in Syria, and over 100,000 have died there. We're threatening to go on Iran. Of course, Palestine has been, ever since 1948, has been under attack. Lebanon, of course, used to be called the most beautiful country in the Mediterranean, but it is now just a wreck, an absolute wreck.
Yeah, it was called the Switzerland of the Mediterranean.
Right. It was, and now it's just a wreck, of course, there as the neighbor of Israel.
Yeah, and Iraq is essentially a third world cesspool.
It is.
Beyond
it is.
Tragic what we've done. Unforgivable. Beyond a war crime. Inhuman what we've done to that country.
That's right. And over in Africa, of course, Somalia is the same way. Then it's even Cyprus. One of the reasons why the bankers went into Cyprus and took all the people's money out of the banks is that if you look at a map of what is called Greater Israel, not the Israel they have now, but the planned Israel, you will see that it even encompasses the island of Cyprus. And so the bankers have moved into Cyprus and taken Cyprus.
That's funny. Yeah, sure.
So,
another Zionist Jewish takedown of the Bank of Cyprus and Lakey Bank.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, what is Greater Israel? That we're going to give Israel the entire Middle East. What does it encompass? Well, their flag tells the story. The flag of Israel tells you about everything you really want to know. It has two blue lines, one up, one down. Now, that indicates the two great rivers, the Euphrates in Iraq, that flows all the way up to Babylon, let's just say up through Baghdad. And then you have the Nile, the great Nile River in Egypt. These are the two water centers. And everything in between them is Greater Israel. Now, that includes parts of Syria, Jordan, Iran, Iraq, Palestine, of course, and parts of Lebanon. So all of the countries being attacked now are part of Greater Israel. And so all of these will come under the influence of Israel. Now, Israel does not have to, in the United States, they have one after another, like dominoes. The domino theory is now being, pursued. What LBJ claimed he feared about Vietnam is now being tested in the Middle East. This is the United States, Israel, Greater Israel, domino theory. So we're knocking off one nation at a time. Next is Syria, of course. Putin, of course, countermanded us on this one, and maybe he did. But we've already, there's an article that came out yesterday in the French newspaper Le Figaro, and it was confirmed by United States. Listen, American, Israeli, and Jordanian troops under the control of the CIA have entered Syria. They're operating from the neighboring Jordan.
Sure. Yeah,
they've
sure.
Entered,
yeah. Yep.
When they say we will not have any boots on the ground,
they're already there.
They're already there.
Oh, they've been there for over a year. Easy. Tex, just a second.
Exactly.
We have to do a little business. Hold on. Be right back with Tex Mars as we continue right after this. Okay, back with Tex Mars, taking a look at the big picture, Greater Israel. And don't for a minute think because Israel is not in the headlines that they're not pulling everything they can behind the scenes to force this country to go to war against Syria. Don't think so. I know you folks don't. They are. And it could happen tomorrow. AIPAC, all the organizations are using everything they have to force this effort. And the effort,
they really are, Jeff.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, the other thing is, because the Zionist Jews own the media, if they want Israel in the media, Israel is in the media. If they want Netanyahu in the media, he's in the media. If they don't, he's out. And I would suggest his absence is by no means to be necessarily interpreted as some kind of failure on the part of Israel to, in the face of the U.S.-Russian agreement, to promulgate its goals, which, of course, are military. And we found out today through an official American report, this is no surprise, that Israel has at least 80 nuclear and thermonuclear warheads. Now, I would say it's probably 2-3 times that much, but 80 in and of itself is enough to wipe out Europe, wipe out much of the world, if they could deliver even half of those. Anyway. That's why that one Israeli, remember that Israeli professor a couple of years ago said, we have weapons, we can destroy Europe.
Yeah, Professor Martin Krevold.
That was the guy. So,
yeah.
Well, Krevold knew what he was talking about. So at least 80 warheads by an American report, and I would suggest because America is the lappy lapdog for Israel, that number is conservative. Go ahead, Tex.
Well, of course, Israel has determined that it will be the controller of the entire Middle East, and it's using us to conquer each nation one at a time. from Tunisia and Somalia and Libya up in Africa on into the Middle Eastern region.
Precisely.
Yeah. What we have to understand is that America is planning this. The Project for the New American Century put all of this together. And then, of course, Israel has a report of its own, the Zenon Report, that they've held for a long time, telling what their plans were. In many maps that you come across in the strangest areas, people have told me that visit Israel, they'll see this greater Israel on the map. They'll say, what is that? And somebody will smile at them and say, that's what we're going to be. That's what Israel is going to be. They'll claim that God gave Abraham all that land. Of course, these Khazars are not the descendants of Abraham, but they claim they are. Remember, they're twice the disciple of hell that even the true Jews would be. So this is an amazing thing that Jesus Christ himself said. But here's one thing I want people to understand. You do not need, in fact, you're very foolish if you believe you need to conquer somebody completely to control them. Here's the policy. It's destabilization, breakup, fragmentation of the Arab and Persian nations. It's destabilization, breakup, fragmentation of the Arab nations. They have factions themselves. They have the Shiites, the Alawites, the Sunnis, sort of like denominations, but they're fighting and warring.
Yeah.
So you stir up these, and then you bring in all kinds of terrorist activity. You bring in just absolute inhuman crazies like the Syrian rebels. Many of these people, I understand, came from training sites in the United States. We have training camps in Georgia and other places in the United States. We trained these terrorists. Then we brought them in and injected them into Libya and now into Syria. So some of these people are our people that were the train right here in the United States of America. That's what we do. But when Lebanon was destroyed, basically, well, then, you know, Israel can do whatever it wants. When Iraq lost Saddam Hussein, he cemented the nation together. When he left, now they're just fragments there, the Kurds and the Sunnis, the Shiites, and they're all fighting each other, making war, blowing up things, killing each other. This is what they intend to do also in Syria. They're already doing it there. It was a very stable country, and then they brought their all of their network of terrorists in. We did, that is, the United States and Israel. Remember, everything in the Middle East is shepherded, is planned in advance, shepherded, and brought into effect by Israel and the United States. They work together. Now, Martin Dempsey, our chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, was asked by Congress exactly what the American interest is. Why do we have our, you know, why would we want to attack Syria? What's that to us? There are 175 nations in the world. We can't be the world's global policeman. He basically told them we have no overriding interest. We don't, you know, as they would say down south, that we don't have a dog in this hunt. But we're there because of Israel. We have to understand, for example, that 9/11, 19 supposed Arabs did this, and I think, 17 or 18 of them came from Saudi Arabia.
Sure.
Now, why don't we invade Saudi Arabia? Saudi Arabia is a horrible country. They've killed Christians. They cut off the heads of their opponents, all kinds of
We need to remember it's a Zionist creation like much of the Gulf states are ultimately. It goes back to World War I when the Middle East was carved up by British Petroleum and the Zionist banks of England.
That's right. And all of these Saudi Arabian sheiks and emirs, they exist courtesy of the United States and Israel. And right now, Egypt is unable to conquer anybody. Look at Egypt.
No.
They're fighting inside. We would love, the Israel would love for Egypt to never get back together again. So we would love for the Egyptians just to break apart into 50 pieces. And that way, that's the way you control them. That's the way the Soviet Union used to control nations. It would go in and go into a fragmented, destabilized country. This is what we really are all about. This is why Biden one time mentioned that he thinks the way for Iraq is to break it up into three or four different nations. Of course, to fragment it. So this is what we're doing over there. We will continue this. Now, I want people to understand something. You can see this is occurring in Iraq, a nation of 24 million people, Jeff. 24 million people.
Mm-hmm.
We have more people than that in Texas.
Yeah.
Okay. But we have gone into there and built the largest United States embassy in the world.
In the world. Right on top of Saddam Hussein's massive underground complex designed and built by a German engineer for Saddam. That's in the green zone. That's right underneath this enormous edifice. You're right. It's a control center for the Middle East.
What it is. Exactly.
All right. Hold on. Come right back with Tex Morris right after this. Stay tuned as we look at the big picture of the Middle East and the world. Okay, and as we are nudged closer and closer to yet another Zionist war, a war for Israel, watch how the mainstream Zionist-owned media pushes us, nudges us, creates in our minds the carte blanche to go into another war. They tried with that chem weapon attack, which is another false flag. They don't care about human lives at all. They'll do whatever it takes to get this war on. Go ahead, Tex.
Well, we've got all kind of evidence. Of course, I don't even think we need to discuss it anymore. Of course, the Russians came out with a 100-page report that said our own terrorist rebels inside Syria did this. Germany's Focus magazine, citing a former Israeli intelligence official. Said that Israel was the primary source for America's intelligence. Bamford, you know, who wrote The Puzzle Palace and other books about...
Yeah, the excellent writer. Yeah.
He says that everything goes through Israel, that Israel has agents in the United States. And so, you know, all of us have our phones being wiretapped, our communications intercepted. We have our emails... looked at. Everything that we do is being watched by the National Security Agency, but it all goes through Israel first. Now, Glenn Greenwald, who is the guy that worked, with Snowden unmasking the National Security Agency, I don't think this was really covered much throughout the United States, but on September 11th, in the Guardian newspaper, he had an article, Greenwald did, there in the Guardian newspaper in England. It says NSA, the National Security Agency, shares raw intelligence, including Americans' data with Israel.
Yeah. That means whatever Israel wants, Israel gets.
Right. In other words, basically, Israel is running the National Security Agency. All of our intelligence goes through their agents, the Mossad. Now, this is incredible, but it defines. There was a memorandum signed in March 2009, and it absolutely states that Israel is to receive. Now, listen to this. It includes, but is not limited to, unevaluated and unminimized transcripts, gist, facsimiles, telex, voice, and digital network intelligence, metadata, and content. Jeff, that's everything in the entire world. All the intelligence goes to Israel.
That's the whole thing.
So before the NSA even gets it to evaluate it,
correct,
it's already in Israel. Israel, Israel knows every business contract that's being done by the Fortune 500 corporations.
Yeah. Yeah.
They know advance what, yeah. what, I mean, these people are buying up options. Today, the options market closed down unexpectedly and mysteriously. I think Israel is buying up the whole world in the options market. They're making trillions of dollars with the NSA intelligence. This NSA is not just to frame, you know, good to patriot people, but it's to find out all of the business data of the entire world. They know when a new product is going to be put out by Samsung or Apple or Siemens. So this is gives an incredible money intelligence to Israel, but we cannot do anything. Even the President of the United States, everything that he does is listened to and watched by the NSA. And in turn, Israel gets it.
Let me tell you something else.
Everything that Obama says, even to his wife.
Oh, yeah.
If he says, bedroom.
If he says anything to her in the bedroom. Here's the deal. We have very talented software programmers, telecommunications experts, which are, and used to be, the people we go to for our above top secret security, telecommunications, and other transmission devices. Well, for some reason, this government decided that Americans no longer had the skills to do that. Who did they award the contracts to build the ultra above top secret communication systems between the White House and the Pentagon and Air Force One? An Israeli company. Do you think that maybe they built a few back doors into that software and that maybe they don't listen in to every damn thing that's said on those channels? You
Absolutely.
Bet your bottom dollar they do. No American company got it. Who does the billing texts for your cell phone, your telephone? Who does the billing for mine? 97%, the last figure I saw, of American telecommunication services are being billed by an Israeli company called Amdocs, which is headquartered here and in Tel Aviv, I believe. Apparently, American companies are no longer able to do billing, so they had to go to an Israeli company. The billing, of course, gives them full access to every phone number in this country. Who talks to whom, when, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's not real-time monitoring there connected in through the NSA. They do all the billing.
Absolutely.
They track it through the NSA. And it's real-time stuff. It's not, oh, they'll listen in 6 months. They can do whatever they want.
Of course. Of course. And this just shows the tie-in for the greater Israel operation between the United States and Israel in that all of our intelligence goes through Israel. They get this stuff raw before the NSA is even evaluated. This is unevaluated phone conversations, and you know they've got video cams throughout the world. We have a Big Brother network operating, and Israel is at the hub of it. Now, how do they get the money to do this? They're a small nation of 7.5 million people. Well, they get our money. They get the whole Fed. The Fed has spent trillions.
Well, that's their the whole banking system created Israel. And whatever Israel wants, it just asks its father and mother bankers in the city of London, the Rothschilds, and they get it. That's simplifying it, but that's what happens.
And they put Jews in command of all of the computer and internet companies, corporations in the world. Zuckerberg at Facebook, Brin and Schmidt.
Brin Schmidt and Page at Google.
Right. There you go. And this is true, whether it's Michael Dell or Gates, all of them are Jews, and they're all a network together. They're all working with the NSA and with Israel. And so it's a treasonous plot against the American people. This is not by accident. Everything is planned. We are the victim. We're just sitting out here watching football, doing our, trying to just survive, as much as we can. Meanwhile, they've got our, let's just say they have our numbers in more ways than one. And here's the way they do things. For example, and I've exposed this before in my video, Die America Die. In Iraq, we went in, we took their oil. They're the second or third largest oil producer in the world, Iraq. Does Iraq get a bit of that oil? No.
Hardly
they're
any.
A very poor country.
Yeah, they're kept down. That was one of the big secrets before the Iraq War. I knew it. I heard it. I read it. I said, oh, wait a minute. This is what's going on. Iraq has far more oil than Saudi Arabia. Nobody talks about that.
There you go. But who gets all that oil? Well, it's being sold for $2 a barrel to the Chinese National Oil Company. Who works with the Chinese National Oil Company? Well, that would be BP, owned by the Rothschilds. All of this oil is going over through Israel and Lebanon, over to the Mediterranean, put on ships, taken over to Red China. $2 a barrel they get the oil for.
That's all it costs to take
Americans
it out of
the were not
barrel.
Allowed to bid on that.
No.
So this is how they're able to do things. And, you know, when you can buy oil at $2 a barrel, goodness gracious.
That's all it costs to take it out of the ground, between $1 and $2 a barrel. It's cheap to pull it out of the ground.
That's right. That's right. But they will go against Syria in due time. They're going to, I'm sure right now they're trying to bribe Putin. They're saying, look, your whole economy, the Russian economy, is dependent on the oil and gas market. We will close you off. We will not let you sell your gas and oil. We have all kinds of oil and gas in Iraq, in the United States now. That's one reason why Obama has allowed our oil and gas to be fracked. The Environmental Protection Agency has been told, don't look, let it go, because we're bribing Russia. But it seems that Putin has not fallen for it yet. But maybe if oil gets down to $50 or $40 a barrel, maybe he'll scream then, and they'll say, well, you know, you let us go into Syria and Iran, we'll let the price of oil go up to $140 a barrel. So this is how they're using the oil markets. They've got Saudi Arabian oil. They've got the Iraq oil. They've got the American oil. So we're going to be strong-arming Putin. Believe me, this is being done right now. So things don't always look as they seem. Putin, we ought to, actually, to be very honest with you, maybe we should pray for that guy to succeed as president.
I'm not going to argue that.
You know, I mean,
you're going to pray for the creep in the...
I trust him more than I do Obama. It's interesting that Bill O'Reilly of the O'Reilly Factor on Fox News had two military officers, Colonel Dave Hunt and Major Ralph Peterson. And both of these guys told him they did not trust the American government, trust Obama.
Yeah.
O'Reilly went nuts. How can you not trust our government?
Well,
they don't. They're good military men.
Well, look at Dempsey. Dempsey's been saying, no, don't go in there. Stay out.
I bet he got chewed out right after he finished speaking to Congress when he said, we don't have any interest in the Middle East.
Let's hope he held up his middle finger and told him where to go. we need that guy. He seems to have a mind of his own. 33% in America now think that the Syrian war, internal war and potential external war, well, it is an external war, is a sign of biblical end times.
Hmm.
Biblical end times. I think there are so many signs of potential end times. That's just one of many. If Fukushima isn't a sign of a potential end time event, I don't know what is. That is a bad one. We'll talk soon, Tex. Thank you. Another wonderful program, as always. You take care of yourself.
They've been with you.
Okay. Good night.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Tex Mars. All right, be right back with hour number two in just a couple minutes.